from multiple locations around the Chicago area today. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning. I am broadcasting to you today from 2501 West Bradley Place, home of Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner, Garfield Goose, and so many more clowns. Schwani is at his appointed post in the WGN newsroom, high atop the 303 East Wacker Building, 18th floor. Morning, Schwani.
Good morning. As I have a newsroom to run, that's exactly where I am.
Yeah.
And were you alluding to a certain clown that's at 2501 West Bradley Place
that we have many.
Happens to be on the air on Sunday mornings from 9 to 1?
We have many clowns. There are no shortage of clowns at 2501 West Bradley Place. I would be one of them, yes. Andy Mazur only 7 feet away from him.
Correct, in my sports bunker with the door wide open.
Yes. Is it hot in there?
Usually gets a little warm in here, yeah.
Because you have a window, which is nice. You have a beautiful
view. Can't open it, though.
And so it's got to be like a little incubator in there.
Yeah, you know.
You should bring some baby chicks in there.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Like the Museum of Science and Industry.
they would thrive in here on certain days.
Yeah.
Yeah. On other days, they would be needing winter jackets.
Well, I'll explain why I am here on Bradley Place, and you guys are at the radio station, but also at the radio station this morning. It's the return of Elton Jim Toronto, in parentheses, listen anyway.
And I'm also in some, I'm in a closet somewhere.
Well.
Which is an upgrade.
We've been saying that for years.
Well, it is Pride Week.
That's nothing new. Welcome back,
Mr. Thank you. Hi ho,
Mr. Thespian. I'm too busy to come on the radio.
Hi ho, Dean Arena. Well, and so, well, and the entertainment critic who was too busy to come to my show.
Well, you know, it only ran like
a month.
One performance a weekend or something.
Yeah, I wish 5 a week, my friend.
It was very
busy. Dean was very busy.
It was a short run.
What are you talking about?
It was a short run because it was only like Saturday and Sunday, wasn't it?
No, Thursday through Sunday. Oh. 5 shows.
Well,
thank you very much.
Now you tell me.
Yeah, I told you a long time ago.
Now you tell me with about 25.
Whatever. Emails. When we're nominated for a Jeff Award, you'll be sorry.
Yeah.
We did very well.
It's going to go right along with my Silver Sow Award that I won.
Silver Circle.
Sir, whatever it's called.
It's nice to be back. I mean, it's probably because I started rehearsals for that show back in early April, so it's been several months. Right. I don't know if it's been from February since we last spoke.
A lot of people don't know. Jim getting rave reviews. This whole play, but Jim getting rave reviews for his performance in...
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
What's almost said.
Can't even remember the name. Not only did you not come, you don't even remember the title.
I almost said How to Succeed in Business. Without even.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was Cabaret or something. If I would have known it was Who's Afraid of Virginia, I thought it was How to Succeed in Business.
It's one of your favorite shows.
I'm not that interested. But congratulations on all the great reviews. And
yeah, it was a great show.
Everything,
it was a tough show, challenging, but it was fun, fulfilling. We had sold out audiences, and we got several standing O's. It was one of the best experiences I've had in theater. And I'm surprised that I got good reviews.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you got exceptionally good reviews.
Yeah, no, the show did, and I did well. As well, so it was very very fulfilling. Yeah. And it was tough. It wasn't easy. If you've ever seen the film with Richard Burton,
it's a lot of yelling.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot of yelling. That may be one of the reasons I didn't go, because if I want that much yelling, I'll just go visit my family.
Well, you know what? There were some people after, a lot of people afterwards, because it was in a smaller theater, kind of a, you know, maybe 40 seats or so, and so many people afterwards said, I felt uncomfortable watching this. I felt like I was eavesdropping on my neighbors because the action was so close to the audience. And it was just a run of emotions, and there's screaming and yelling and drunken and laughter. I mean, it's everything you can get. And it was so close to the people. There was sometimes when there was a couple of of little fight scenes where I got thrown to the floor, and I was literally at somebody's feet.
Oh, now, see, if you would have told me that you got thrown to the floor at some point, you have...
I downplayed it.
You did not sell this to me properly. If I would have known that there was physical violence against you.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
You know, imagine all the people who sent in hate texts.
If they would have known
that you were being physically beaten up on the stage, that place would have been packed every night.
And then right in the middle of it, they probably would have done a Chris Rock on me. They would have just come right out of it and just give me a slap.
I think it would be called a Will Smith.
Oh, that's true.
That would be called a Will Smith. But
I do have to think, though.
I get the point, though.
There were several WGN listeners who would after each show, not every show, but would stay afterwards and, oh my gosh, I hear you on Dean's show, or, you know, I listen on the radio. So it was very nice. So thank you to all the WGN listeners who came out. Dean didn't, but thanks to you.
Yeah. Andy, how did you like the show?
I thought it was one of the more stunning performances I've ever seen.
Schwani probably.
Oh, Schwani loved it.
Schwani went down to get coffee by the way. Schwani figures I'm not there. He doesn't have to hang out at all.
Oh, I think it's fine.
Well, that's the last time I do a little theatrical thing with you, Schwani, when I bring in the scripts and we get to do that. So thank you very much. You told me how much you always enjoy doing that.
I do.
Yeah, well, forget that. That's done with.
Well, you know what?
That bit's over.
What did I say? I said I think it's fine.
That bit's over.
What's wrong with that?
I think the key in the future is you get into plays where people do bad things to you.
And we'll be there.
We'll be there. All the you know, just based on the text.
You'll audition for it.
Based on the text that come in. I know a lot of other people are going to come in to see you. No, congratulations.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it. I was very proud of the show. But to your point, I would be, there were some scenes, the actress who played Martha, my wife.
That's the Elizabeth Taylor role.
Elizabeth Taylor role. Her name is
Schwani. Just to show you the stretch here, Schwani played the Richard Burton role.
And there were some nights where she would literally, she tore my sweater.
Wow.
Because I got her so mad.
Well, that's the point. I mean,
yeah.
It's extremely dysfunctional, longtime married couple.
Well, you know, but we do have these fight scenes kind of choreographed, but sometimes I would get so under her skin. And, you know, afterwards she'd say, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Having done many shows with you, I can relate to spending a couple of hours with you on stage.
But you never tore my clothing.
Well, we'll see what happens in the future.
Happy Pride Week. But no, it was so. I mean, one time she ripped my sweater twice, and one time she threw a pillow at me.
Wow.
So it was pretty intense.
I totally would have come if I would have known there was so much violence on you.
Yeah, but...
Any future theatrical
We'll see.
Endeavors?
I mean, you know, the world of an actor, you're always...
The roles? The roles haven't been... The script hasn't been coming in like you thought after this?
I was expecting the phone never to stop, and it has stopped completely.
Yeah.
It was very exhausting physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of taking a break here a little too. And when I take over for you, I shouldn't even tell people because they'll turn off the radio.
Yeah.
But when you leave to do your little bit at 11 o'clock, I want to talk to Schwani because I had some toward the end of the show. It was over a 3-hour show every night. And I had some major throat problems toward the end. Not major, but significant, where I had to be on vocal rest. And I was just wondering.
Is Schwani an otolaryngologist?
Well, I wanted to talk. No, because he's made his life.
Going to give you an on-air exam? Of,
well, no, he's made his living with his instrument.
Say ah.
And so I wanted to see if there's, and do you, and even you, I mean, do you have any like homemade remedies that you, when you have a sore throat at all or laryngitis?
When I stress my throat, I gargle.
Your instrument, sir.
I gargle with salt water.
Yeah, I did that.
That's the that my my
that's your go-to?
Throat doctor. I do actually do have a throat doctor.
Oh, see, you laugh, but yeah,
yeah. No, I do because it, you know, it's our instrument.
Yeah.
He says the best thing to do is gargle with the warm salt water.
Yeah, I did that. I did. I mean, I went through six bears of honey.
Wow.
You know those little bear bottles?
Right.
Yeah, I went through about six bottles of those in a week.
Well, it's you know, it's resting your vocal cords. It's you know, gargling with salt water. That really, that's all you can do.
Yeah, there really isn't too much.
And you know, I had my doctor tell me once. You know, I would say that, you know, I wasn't talking; I was whispering. And he said, "Don't whisper. It's just as stressful on your vocal cords."
Yeah, it's just no
the whispering. It's just you just got to shut up. Which I know for you is.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I mean, it was this. I was like in prison.
Right.
Not be able to talk for, you know, for 24
well,
hours.
Thank goodness you're here and able to talk today.
Well, thank you. And once again, it's nice to be back. And
So here's the game plan for today.
Yeah.
I'm over here on West Bradley Place today because of the Pride Parade that's going on. Not to avoid the traffic, which is often why I'm here on Bradley Place, to avoid coming downtown. But because there's a vehicle that is taking us, taking Bozo.
Oh, Bozo again?
Bozo's in the parade. Gaynor Hall, Sean Lewis, Tim Joyce, Mike Lowe, Paul Lisnick, Dina Bear. We're all going to be shuffled away to the parade float, which will be stepping off from Montrose and Broadway this morning and then headed south on south through Lakeview for the big parade today. So
you don't drive down on the float?
No.
Oh.
No, we were in an actual vehicle. Well, you think we're on the outer drive going 40 miles an hour on the float?
That'd be kind of cool. You could be waving to all the...
holding on for dear life.
all the crepe paper flowers flying off.
Well, there goes Dina Bear. You know, I'm safe. I got a couple of pounds on me. Dina's this big, holding up my pinky finger.
Yeah, call Ray. Call Pat Elwood. We just lost one.
Right. So we're going to leave here right at 11 o'clock, and then Jim is going to take over.
But listen anyway.
But listen anyway. So get your hate text ready. You know, maybe you want to type them into your phones right now. And then at 11 o'clock, when Jim takes over the show, you can just hit send.
Yeah.
And
right at 11.
And go with that.
Right at 11.
Yeah. So what do you have planned for your part of the show? I'll tell you what we have between now and now and 11 o'clock. We're going to talk with Dr. Robert Murphy about, you know, the latest with COVID. Kids in COVID is really the big issue for this week. But Dr. Robert Murphy from Northwestern will be joining us. And we will be doing a theater segment today, Jim.
Oh, how nice. So you actually do that.
Yeah. You're
you don't do it with people that you know or anything.
No, that would be a conflict of interest.
Oh yeah. I figured you're going to use that one.
Yeah, but instead we have the actor and actress who play Professor Henry Higgins and Eliza Doolittle.
The rain in Spain is mainly on the plane.
Yeah. Jim was up for that role of Eliza Doolittle.
You can see why he didn't get it.
He refused to shave his legs for the show.
Wouldn't it be lovely?
Right? There are a lot of great songs from My
no
Fair Lady.
No question. Yeah.
It's a show that is going to be opening on June 28th here in Chicago at the Cadillac Palace Theater. And we'll talk with the two stars of the show coming up later on. And then after 11, here's what Jim has.
Yeah, we're going to do a little quick preview with Rick Pearson. Of course, Tuesday is Election Day.
You know, if only there was something political or volatile to talk about.
The funny thing is, I contacted Rick in the morning on Friday.
Oh, boy.
And this was before the announcement. And I said, well, now I've got an extra layer to talk about, too, now.
Right,
so
right.
We're certainly going to talk about not only the election, but also the impact that the Supreme Court's decision on Friday will potentially have on the Illinois primaries in terms of turnout and possible influences on who will win. And,
you know, I filled in for Lisa Dent on Friday thinking it's a Friday show.
Right.
We're just going to have some fun Friday, kick off the weekend.
Oh my god!
And suddenly it was one of these shows. You know, I can count on one hand the number of shows in all my years at WGN where, you know, just things at the very last minute, we throw out everything that we have planned. We start over again. And, you know, we talked exclusively about overturning of Roe versus Wade on Friday. It was a very serious show. I think a very interesting show. I know that by the number of texts that I got of when we would talk to somebody who was anti-abortion, we got a ton of people who were mad about that. When we talked to people
right.
who were pro, we got a ton of people mad about that. What we've learned from this, and I've learned this over my years at WGN, there is no let's listen to the other person's opinion and share dialogue. Really, it's I only want to hear what I already think.
No kidding.
That's
been solidified over the last 10 years.
And that's been, you know, since forever. So,
yeah.
But we talked, among the other people that we talked to was Rick Pearson.
Oh, good, yeah.
Who was great, you know, talking about how this decision may affect people's votes.
Certainly. So we'll talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about the new Elvis movie that just came out this weekend. Because I, of course, am born on Elvis's birthday.
Oh, so
I have a little connection, January 8th.
Oh, well, that's a very important. They have a big plaque at Graceland.
Yes, they do.
I don't know if you know that. They put a big plaque up saying Jim Toronto was born on the same day as Elvis.
But not so much about the I'm going to talk about the film, definitely. Michaela saw it.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. But I also want to talk about, is it possible? Is it possible to make Elvis cool again in 2022? Because, you know, Elvis has a very complex legacy. And while the Beatles have done an amazing marketing job of elevating their prominence and iconic status for history, Elvis is sadly, I think for many people, just known as that bloated guy with the jumpsuit because of all the impersonators.
You know what? I was at Graceland a couple of weeks ago and talked with the stars and the director, Baz Luhrmann. And he put it differently. He said, for a generation of people, Elvis is just a Halloween costume.
Right. Exactly.
But,
he's a parody. He's a cartoon character.
But I think this movie, I don't know if it's going to change great perceptions, but this movie is, I think, is pretty electric and pretty great.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then lastly, since I spoke to you, Dean, I had cataract surgery.
Oh, wow.
On both eyes.
Congratulations.
So I am seeing color for the first time.
Really?
Oh my gosh! And detail. I looked in the mirror and almost. Who was that guy? I was afraid. I go, when do the bags go away now?
Wow! Look at you.
Yeah, but I was surprised when I went into the to get the everybody in the place. You know, cataracts is usually considered with more older people. And when I walked in, the woman.
Hey, I got news for you, Junior.
I know I'm not that young anymore.
Yeah.
But still, but it was still a shock to go in there. And most of the nurses looked at me like, who's this young whippersnapper? I'm like, I'm not even that young, because most everybody else was.
If that's what they said when you walked in, they are the ones that needed surgery.
Yeah, especially like I said, when I saw myself in the mirror.
Their vision. So all of that's coming up after 11 o'clock. But you know what? Right now, I'm glad that we're all here right now, because it's time for America's favorite feature. Hit the music.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, it's time for the Far-Flung Forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. And with the latest for us this morning, it's Dave Cataract Schwann.
Everything you wanted to know.
Thank you so much, Uncle Dean and Jim. Today, we go north of the border. We are in a foreign country for our forecast today.
Okay.
North of the border, that means Canada, specifically Quebec or Quebec.
Quebec.
We are moving northward to a city that would look like Saint Lambert, but in the French, it is Saint Lambert.
Yeah.
Saint Lambert.
You're just showing off now.
Saint Lambert. It is along the south shore of the St. Lawrence River. It's opposite Montreal, a population of a little over 21,000 people, and has roots actually going back to the 1600s when Louis XIII of France was dividing up the area.
He was my favorite of all the Louis, by the way.
He was the Louis.
Yeah. I like Louis Anderson.
I like Louis.
dun, dun, dun.
All right. But anyway, Quebec was then known as New France, but we mention Saint-Lambert today because it was on this date, and it was great. In 1959, Saint-Lambert was headquarters for the opening ceremonies of the St. Lawrence Seaway, and it was presided over by President Dwight D. Eisenhower and the Queen, Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, no kidding.
At Saint-Lambert, they had the opening remarks and the dedication for the St. Lawrence Seaway, which...
Is it the Salt Lawrence Freeway, then?
Well, it would be. Saint-Laurent.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Opening up.
Brother, I feel like I'm in a Berlitz tape.
Who's on first?
I feel like I'm stuck in a Berlitz tape I can't get out of.
But the opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway meant that ships could move all the way into the Great Lakes, all the way from the opening of the area to Duluth, Minnesota, and another important seaport, Chicago. And since its opening, more than, get this, 2 billion tons of cargo has moved through there, worth $300 billion.
Except for the last 3 months.
Well, yeah, right. It was the last year and a half or so. But Saint-Lambert was the headquarters for the opening ceremonies of the St. Lawrence Seaway. They have a nice day there, sunny and 77.
What year did you say that was?
1959.
I wonder if, because the Queen Elizabeth, was at that. Uh-huh. It's relatively close to Chicago. She did visit Chicago.
She did visit Chicago.
I wonder if that was on the same trip.
It may have been. I'll have to look that up. But that's why they call the area there that's just due east of Buckingham Fountain the Queen's Landing.
Landing, right.
Because she got off a boat there
and
came up to shore.
Was that the only time she was ever in Chicago?
I think so.
Probably.
Wow,
yes.
Just one time.
The old Mayor Daley was there to greet her. There are pictures. Can you imagine what that conversation must have been like?
How you doing there, Queen? How you doing there, Liz?
You know,
it's good to see you.
The Chicago River. I hope people are going to come here and fish and eat the fish.
There's nothing like a fish.
Careful, don't drop your tiara in the water.
Are you a Sox fan?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not often you get two terrible impersonations.
Dueling dailies.
Dueling bad impersonations. We'll check news coming up next. It is 9:41. This is Dean Richards Sunday morning. Elton Jim Toronto is also with us today.
Hi ho, Dean Areno.
You are the perfect person to be with me here today as we talk with Dr. Robert Murphy, the professor of infectious diseases in Northwestern University.
Why am I the perfect?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about the latest in COVID and some things like that. But you just had this cataract surgery.
Yes, I did.
So we can fully analyze your situation.
And here, I am double boosted.
Dr. Murphy, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you with us here today.
Yeah, good morning, and good to be double boosted.
Yes, I was going to ask you, Jim, if you if you've got all the shots that you need, because a lot of people are getting a little lackadaisical about.
No, in fact, I went as soon as the 5 month when I had my first boost, I was at Walgreens.
Yeah, very, very good.
Give me a jab.
Very good. Are people keeping up to date with all this, Dr. Murphy? Because you do hear a lot of people who are getting COVID now because they felt like, the worst is over. I can, slough off on this a little bit. What are we seeing with people protecting themselves?
Good question. The pandemic's not over. The vaccines are working. However, they don't. Unfortunately, the effect doesn't last forever. And there's some beautiful data that came out last week just shows the effect of the second booster versus just having the one booster. And it's at least 50% better in getting new infections, getting in the hospital, or dying. So it's keep up with your boosters, because that's what's going to save everybody.
Will there be such thing as a triple booster?
Oh, sure.
Yeah? I mean, so another 5 months, I should probably start looking for another one, it will be longer?
Well, what's going to happen is the next... So you're going to get the booster now is the same booster you had the first time, all right?
Right.
In the fall, you're going to have a brand new vaccine, both Moderna and Pfizer, and maybe some of the other companies. Yeah, it's going to be based on the Omicron variant.
Is this the one I read about this week that said Pfizer? The one article I saw said Pfizer was targeting something that specifically dealt with Omicron, targeting it down a little bit. So
yes, that's it. And it's going to be a mixture of the old one plus the new one. So your third booster will be that in the fall.
Yeah, mostly. I mean, it sounds like we're sort of getting to the point with this as we are with flu shots, where we just know that, you know, we need to go get a little pick-me-up with it.
And, exactly. It's going to be just like the flu shots until they can invent something even better, you know, like an out-of-the-park improvement in the kind of vaccine technology. But for now, you're right. It's going to be just like the flu.
Do they use a very thin needle for that?
Yes, it's a very small dose.
Because when I got my second booster at Walgreens, it was literally a painless shot. I didn't believe I even got an injection until I got home and took the cotton off, and I said, thank God I saw a little piece of blood, because I didn't think I even got a shot.
Yeah, no, it doesn't hurt going in. No, it's a very, very small amount of material.
Yeah, I don't think I felt my vaccines or boosters either. The next day, I definitely felt a little soreness on all the ones that I did. But it comes and goes so quickly. It's not even a big deal. So what's the latest now? The CDC did approve vaccinations for children.
Right.
Who should be concerned about that right now?
So
parents of what age? Children.
Yeah. It had been approved from 5 and up, and now it's approved from 5 and down to 6 months. And the studies are done. It's safe. They amount to very good immunologic response. Both Moderna and Pfizer both got approved for kids. And it looks like, although they don't compare them head-to-head, the protection from the Pfizer one was a little bit better.
Same regimen of treatment, the original vaccines, and then boosters.
It's a little different. The kids respond differently, and the Pfizer vaccine for little kids is 3 shots. The Moderna one is 2 shots, so there's a little bit difference there.
Okay.
We don't know about kids getting boosters yet. We don't know. They may respond a little longer than adults. We just really don't know yet. But the first course, the 2 or 3 doses, is approved.
If you have a question for Dr. Murphy, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here is someone that is asking, how long does the virus remain contagious in indoor air? Is it minutes? Is it hours? Somebody you know has tested positive. How soon can you breathe their same air?
That's a good question. It's really hard to answer that. But in general, rooms don't stay contaminated for a long period of time. The virus will go down, and if it doesn't get into a human body, it dies. So that's good. So it's not a long time, but I can't give you the exact answer. I don't think anybody has it.
630 area code said, I got my second booster a week ago. The next day, I had no energy and was sluggish for a week. Several of my friends had the same reaction. We all had Pfizer. That's individual, isn't it? Because I had Pfizer. I didn't have that response at all.
I had the Moderna one. My second booster was Moderna, and I was really knocked out for 2 days. However, that's your own body responding to this. And this is going to continue as you get boosters. And I think what will happen is the interval between boosters is going to increase. And then that will be less of a problem.
Is it okay? I was reading stuff earlier on when the second booster shot. Is it okay to mix and match? Like if I had Pfizer initially, could I get a Moderna or should I always stay with Pfizer?
No. You can mix and match. Matter of fact, there's some data that says it's better. They're different vaccines. They're not the same product. They're the same, category of vaccine, the mRNA vaccine. But you can mix and match, and there's some data, very good data, that shows mixing and matching is better.
Hmm. Yeah, because I've had Pfizer all along, and I wasn't sure if I should ask for Moderna or just stay with the Pfizer?
Yeah.
No, I, the same thing with me. I had
three
Pfizer shots, and I went for the Moderna. And it's okay. They're slightly different, so you get a little bit broader immunologic.
Yeah, spice your life up a little bit.
I think Moderna's got a little jalapeno taste, too, which is nice.
It does. That on the one of them comes where they put salt around the edges of the syringe, which is very unusual.
I was just wondering for those children vaccinations, there's no Flintstone variety, is there?
They get a Flintstone Band-Aid.
Oh, okay, good.
That's nice. I feel like I get a Flintstones Band-Aid when I go to Walgreens and they give you the Walgreens.
Yeah, that little red one?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. 269 area code said, repairmen coming into our home don't wear masks. How long should we wear our masks after they leave?
You can take them off as soon as they leave.
And I might add, why would you be letting someone into your house who refuses to wear a mask? It's your house,
right?
It's your house.
Because a good plumber is hard to find, Dean.
Yeah, I've had repairmen coming to the house, and I have my mask on when I answer the door, and they don't, and they said, "Oh, you want me to wear a mask?" And I said, "Yeah, I sort of do."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they've been. I don't know where their wrenches have been.
Well, a lot of communities have basically just given up on masks, especially I think 269 is southwestern Michigan. It's a very few people wear masks.
Let's take a break. We'll come right back with Dr. Robert Murphy. 312-981-7200 is our number here at WGN. Dr. Robert Murphy, professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern University, on the line with us. Elton Jim Toronto doctor also is here with us, who just had cataract surgery. Is that something that all of us can probably expect to get once we hit a certain age?
Probably. very likely. It depends how much ultraviolet light and exposure in the sun and the environment you've had.
So exposure in the sun is something that would contribute to that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't, because I wondered why. I mean, once again, I know that anytime your eyes really, after you're in your mid-40s, your eyes begin to decline. But as I was telling Dean earlier, I'm in my mid-50s, and I was considered by my eye doctor to be on the younger side of needing the cataract, mm-hmm. and I was wondering why I had developed it so early. But
I wonder, let me ask this. What are signs that you may want to ask your doctor, do I need something like this? What are some of the things that tell you there may be something going on with your eyes related to cataracts?
Well, this is not my field, but just in general, it's so common that the first thing people typically notice is that they have trouble at night. Night vision.
Okay.
You know, there's just a little bit more difficulty when you're driving at night or doing things at night. And it's very gradual. And then all of a sudden you realize that, hey, I got problems, and go get checked out.
Yeah. Well,
I could have. An optometrist can diagnose.
Right. I could have told you that Jim had problems. We didn't need an optometrist or ophthalmologist for that.
Dean, ask Dr. Murphy about germs. That's his specialty.
Yes,
viruses
specialty.
And germs. He doesn't know about ultraviolet lights and lenses.
He just gave us some fantastic information. I'm not asking
only because I have an early cataract. That's why I don't.
Yeah, I'm not asking him to do surgery on you. I just ask a couple of questions.
Oh, God. You wouldn't want that.
Dr. Robert Murphy, professor of infectious diseases, as long as it's not in your eyes, is with us. Dr. Murphy, good to talk to you. I hope you have a great Sunday today.
Eyes can get infected. Be careful.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly right.
I know a thing about cataracts. Just was reading the other day. There may be a medicine that can help cataracts.
Oh.
It's being studied. It's only in the animal states, so you got like many years to go. But I mean, the future looks very bright.
Well, as Jim seems to be breaking down at a pretty rapid pace,
I know
you're not going to make it till that drug hits.
I know.
Man.
No.
Let's update news when we come back from this break. Stick around. So I'm practicing my parade wave. Getting ready for the big Pride Parade today. Both WGN Radio and WGN TV both have floats in the parade today.
Oh, the radio has one, too?
Radio has one,
too. I guess my invitation got lost in the mail.
Well, I'm sure you're welcome to. Well, you're going to be on, you're going to be on the air for me. So
right, yeah. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That's the reason
yeah,
why.
Yeah, okay, good.
I don't, honestly, I'm not sure who is on the radio float.
Yeah, how do you not, I mean, you know, how are you?
How do I pick?
Yeah, how are you dividing your time? Are you going to run to each one?
No, it's sort of picked for me.
Oh, I see.
since I am, you know, since I work for, you know, work.
So are you dressed like RuPaul today? I mean, what do you have on? Do you have a big bustier or what?
I just have a shirt and shorts. Wearing shorts. I'm showing my legs today. I rarely
wow.
I am showing some leg today.
Are they as white as...
yeah, they're pretty white.
Yeah, I was just going to say the milky yeah. white.
Yeah, I would suggest wearing sunglasses for the sun, but also if you look at my legs, you may get retina damage. That's how white my legs are. But, you know, it's going to be a beautiful day. So yeah, not everybody has to dress like you do on a normal Tuesday.
So now, I was trying to remember, there has not been for the last 2 years, right? Is
yeah,
this the first one?
Because of COVID, this is the first parade in, I don't know, 2 years.
Because they were saying that there's been a lot of pent-up excitement for this parade this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, it's one of the most fun parades that we do every year. We do all the parades, but it's a pretty fun parade. But, you know, I'll be on the WGN TV float. It's float number 45, if you want to save your heckling, you know, for when we go by. Bozo is going to be on the float, Bozo the Clown, so that's going to be he always steals the show, which is really a lot of fun. And Dina Bear and Mike Lowe, Sean Lewis, Tim Joyce, Gaynor Hall. We've got a whole big crew from WGN TV who will be on the.
Are you going to have any tchotchkes? You throwing stuff out?
No, you're
just
not
waving.
You know what? You're not supposed to throw stuff off of the float. That's one of the rules. A lot of people ignore that and do it anyway because people rush the floats trying to get, you know, a mini Snickers bar. They almost get run over by a truck trying to get a mini Snickers bar. So we observe the rules and we do not throw things. We do have people walking on the sides of our float to, you know, and they hand out little, you know, things like that. But so, you know, we try to keep it as civil as possible. So
how long does a parade last?
A couple hours. Couple, 2-3 hours. Depends on how quickly things are moving. But
got a nice day for it.
It's a beautiful, gorgeous, going to be a really nice day.
Yeah.
So I'll be here until 11 o'clock, and then we're going to scoot out, head over to the parade that steps off at noon.
I heard it's called this year, it's called Dean's Drag Race. Is that true or no?
What?
No.
You just want this to be all about drag today, don't you?
Well, come on. It's the Pride Parade.
Well,
I mean,
that's not. Pride is not just drag. And
no, but come on. You know there's going to be a lot of flamboyance there today.
There is, but there's. You know what? I'll bet there is more non-flamboyance than flamboyance. The flamboyance gets all the attention because it's crazy.
But if there hasn't been a parade in 2 years, I'm thinking that people have been planning for this one. This one, I think, is going to be a little crazy.
I don't know. I don't know that anyone especially went out and bought a feathered headdress just because...
Oh, you mean a new one?
Because the parade is... you're playing into some big stereotypes here, my friend.
Well, no, but that's what the Pride Parade is all about, is be yourself.
For some people it is.
Yeah.
And being yourself for plenty of people is just showing up in a polo shirt and
right, yeah, that's true.
You know, it's just like no big deal. It's just you are who you are, and doesn't mean you have to be flamboyant. You know, to be proud.
How many floats? Do you know how many floats?
I don't.
I wonder how it's a big.
I'm sure it's a pretty big deal. So
yeah,
anyway,
very good.
Well, I'm sure we'll have highlights on the news for all of that. So. What else do we have? Tomorrow I'm going to be filling in for Lisa Dent again.
Oh, look at you.
From 2 until 6. I'm hoping something huge in the news happens with gun control or some other...
You don't have anything planned? You're just waiting for some big breaking story?
I learned on Friday not to plan anything because, you know, we had a whole big fun Friday show planned when I filled in this past Friday, and the Supreme Court came through and changed the whole show on me.
That happened to me one time several years ago, and I was filling in for you. If you remember, there was a shooting in Florida on a Sunday morning. It was some kind of a homosexual shooting. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, and there was some major thing. And to your point, I had all this stuff planned, and all of a sudden, this major story yeah. dropped right in the middle of the show, and we just, like you said, you canceled everything.
Got to cover it,
and ran with it, right. And it was fun.
Yeah,
and it was interesting, but it was certainly like, wow, wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, that's part of our job. It's part of what it is. I know it's been the kind of the WGN credo forever, but. On my show, when there's something going on, we cover it. We fully cover it. Even though we literally had a full show planned for fun things on Friday that just completely went out the window. So
was that a surprise? I mean, that wasn't scheduled to be announced, right? They just sort of threw that on everybody, right?
The announcement. Well, I mean, people knew that it was going to happen. They didn't know it was going to happen on Friday.
Right. Exactly. I know so, they said sometime in June, but we were getting close to the end of June, and I was wondering. When are they going to do that? So that just they just made the announcement then, right? There was no pre,
no warning.
Yeah,
no warning on all that. So I'm hoping something equally as divisive. I went home with such a headache. I feel very proud of the show that we did. We covered it from all angles, both sides. But not at all what I thought the Friday show was going to be. So we'll see what happens tomorrow from 2 until 6. I don't know if this is going to be one of the topics we'll discuss tomorrow or not, but big WGN TV news breaking last night. I'm on the Facebook.
The Facebook.
All the kids love the Facebook. All the kids don't love the Facebook. Only old people are on.
You're not
Facebook.
On the MySpace anymore.
The kids are into the Gram now. The Instagram.
Yeah, the Gram.
But I'm flipping through the Facebook last night, and Robin Baumgarten, from WGN TV Morning News.
Wow,
the very much beloved Robin Baumgarten.
Yeah,
who has been dating a man. Yes. That she is only referred to as Mr. X.
Right.
She has not given any details about the man that she's been seeing for quite a while. And it's been fun. We're just fun goofing around. Mr. X this, Mr. X that. So last night, Robin posts a picture of herself with Mr. X, although she covered his face.
Ugh.
But here's the caption. Mr. X is now Mr. Fiancé.
Oh.
Robin is engaged. She said, can't wait for you all to meet him.
So she's actually going to take the mask off. This is like the Mask Singer.
This is like the Mask Singer.
The Mask Fiancé.
Right, only not idiotic. So I don't know if she's bringing him in tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I don't know anything more than this post. But it's a picture of Robin looking super happy, showing off an engagement ring.
Has it been years since she's been going out with him?
It's probably been about a year that we've known of.
Right, right, yeah. You don't know if it was even longer than that, though.
Yeah, yeah. She's kept it pretty much under wraps. Yeah. So
well, not anymore.
Robin Baumgarten is an engaged woman. So
she's off the market, Ben.
Congrats to her. people ask all the time, Dean, I love your show, but I'm so curious about what it is that you do during the newscasts and the commercials.
Really?
No, but I just need a transition.
Oh, there you go. Nice segue.
I need a transition into what I want to talk about next.
All right.
Because during this last newscast, while Schwani was giving us the news, I enjoyed the most delicious pear I think that I've ever eaten in my whole life.
What were their names?
Danjou was one.
And Bartlett.
One was named Danjou and one was named Bartlett. It was, sometimes you get a piece of fruit and it's just, this is okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get one and it's like, this is a gift from God. This is a natural, and this pear, it with every juicy bite,
oh my gosh,
just said summertime. A nice cold pear.
So would that be your favorite fruit?
Perfectly ripe. I do love a good pear.
Wow.
I do love a good pear. But listen to this. I was doing some shopping the other day, and it was right around lunchtime. And I thought, I should probably pick up a little something for lunch. They had containers of already cut watermelon in the produce section.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, you know, sometimes it looks terrible. It's, you know, they don't know how to pick watermelon off in the stores.
Yeah.
But this was, these were just, you could tell this was going to be delicious watermelon. I said, I'm going to have watermelon for lunch. And I got one of these trays. It was the most delicious watermelon.
Now, are you a red watermelon or the pinkish watermelon?
Oh, I like red.
Like, so you like it like soft?
No, I don't like it soft.
Well, because when it's red, it's usually very ripe, isn't it? Isn't that it's soft?
It's not soft, though.
See, I like my watermelon firm.
Well, I like
it on the pinky side, like with a little, you know how it's a little white?
Yeah, no, it's not quite. It should be sweet. It's not as sweet when it's like that.
Yeah, but then it's all like watery and
no, that's why they call it watermelon. You know what? I don't know. Do you know how to pick a watermelon?
No, I don't.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, I will answer any questions.
You're not saving this for tomorrow?
I am. I'm afraid it might not get on the air. I'm afraid something might break, and it might not get on the air. I'm not holding any topic ever again because it might not get on the air. But today, Dean helps you pick fruit. If you want to know how to pick any fruit, I did work in the produce department at the AMP grocery store during all of high school and all of college.
So you know the difference between a bib and an endive lettuce.
I am an expert when it comes to fruit and vegetables.
Nice.
And I will answer your questions and tell you how to pick a watermelon when we
come. Well, I know. I'm staying tuned.
Take that, news radio. We'll show you programming at 1019 WGN. It is 1024. It's Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Elton Jim Toronto is here. Schwani, Andy, the whole crew on Sunday. Coming up after 10:30, our weekly theater segment. We're going to talk with the stars of the upcoming production of My Fair Lady that will be here in Chicago. But we were talking about choosing. This is just the best time of year for picking fresh vegetables, whether you go to a farmer's market or, you know, you go to your local grocery store, whatever. A beautiful salad on a hot summer night is fantastic. And as I've said, you know, I've enjoyed. I got a cantaloupe the other day.
Listen to you.
I don't want to get too graphic with me.
My God,
me and my love of cantaloupe.
Do you need to take a shower?
I love cantaloupe. I love melon.
Honeydew? I love honeydew. See, I'm a honeydew guy more than a cantaloupe.
I love honeydew.
Now, I'd like to know. You're going to talk about how to pick. How do you pick a honeydew?
You pick a honeydew for, you know, first of all, don't look for no blemishes on it, no, you know, bruises. You don't want anything like that. You want it to be consistent. It should be it should begin to feel a little bit yellow.
Oh, really? So, because usually they're so white,
right? And that's when they're like, so you cut them open and there's no taste to them,
yeah,
at all. So you want it to it should begin to feel yellow, but go on the non-stem side of the honeydew. Take your thumbs and push in a little bit. Don't push hard, but it should give a little bit. The whole texture of the honeydew. It should give in a little bit.
See, I've always gone by sight, not by feel. So that's interesting.
Oh, you know, you got to go by feel. You got to feel it to feel like it. If it's just, it should have a little give to it.
Oh.
And then when you take it home, you know, if mostly they don't, but take it home, put it in a paper bag.
Yeah, why? You know, my wife does that with peaches too. What's the paper bag thing?
That that gets the natural gases that the fruit gives off, much like yourself, Jim. I can't tell you the number of times I would have liked to have put you in a paper bag.
I live in a paper bag.
When your natural gases are. But no, the natural gases, I think they're I might be wrong. I seem to remember ethylene gases. But if they're in a paper bag, it's contained, and it speeds up the ripening of the fruit.
Interesting.
Same thing with cantaloupe. You do the same thing with the cantaloupe, same thing with peaches, nectarines, all the stone fruit that are out right now, plums, put them in a paper bag. If they're same thing with the peaches and nectarines and all that. Feel them. don't no blemishes. Yeah. They should begin to feel just a tiny give in them.
So what about the watermelon?
And if they don't, put them in a paper bag. The watermelon, look for uniform color. It should feel heavier than you would expect it to feel. That means that, you know, the fluids inside are,
well, that's subjective,
are ripening up. Well, it is. But, I mean, mostly look for an even color.
So I'm not feeling this.
No discoloration. No, you're not going to be pushing it. But you're going to take your finger and you're going to knock on the watermelon.
Oh, like
take your little
gunk,
knuckle.
Gunk?
Yeah, take your little knuckle. Knock, knock, knock. And it should, if it doesn't sound hollow, don't take that one.
Well, if it doesn't, so if it does not you sound hollow.
You want it to sound hollow.
Ah.
You want it to sound hollow. And if it does, you've got yourself a good watermelon.
And that will sound hollow, if it's right, it will sound hollow regardless of the size.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Interesting. And do we know why this has a hollow sound?
No. I just know it works.
It's nothing to do with the water evaporating. You don't know anything about the ethylene gases on this one?
I do not know about anyone's gases but my own.
Wow.
I didn't say
that, folks. You switch off now for him.
All I know, you are taking a beating on the text line, rightfully so.
Oh, really? Wow.
But
nice
the,
to know.
But the... all I know is that technique has not failed me in all my years of watermelon buying.
So did you read that, or is that something you just discovered on your own?
Something I learned working in the produce department at old A&P grocery store.
So did they train you?
I'm a produce man from way back.
Did they train you?
There was an old Greek guy that worked who was my produce manager. And he could barely put two words of English
Spiros.
Together. His name actually, his name was Nick. And he knew everything about produce, and he did teach me. So that's, you're going to send a hate mail to someone. Good luck finding Nick. I'm sure he's about 110 years old.
But. I'm looking forward to the Rainier cherries, which are going to be coming out soon.
Can't beat it. I'm telling you.
They don't last long, but they, I love a good Rainier cherry.
You cannot beat this time of year for fresh produce.
Oh.
Are we supposed to take a break now, or are we supposed to go to the news now?
It's 10:30.
Somebody tell. We're going to news? Okay. Well, in that case, we're on time. Sorry. It was a complete mistake.
Look at you.
We'll get to the theater segment coming up right after this that I knew was going to be happening. This is one of the classic songs from one of the most amazing musicals of all time, My Fair Lady. The Rain in Spain. You can put that, let that music, keep that in the background a little bit. That, by George, I think she's got it. I could have danced all night. Wouldn't it be lovely? I've grown accustomed to her face. What else? On the street where you live. I mean, just one amazing song after another. Part of...
This isn't... Oh, here, now it is. I'm sorry.
What's that?
My microphone wasn't working for a second.
Oh, well, we don't want that to happen.
I think a lot of the text people were able to hack into it.
We
want to shut it off.
We want to hear every valuable word that you've got to share.
By Jove, I think she's got it.
I mean, truly, truly one of the greatest musicals of all time. And My Fair Lady is coming back to Chicago. It's going to be at the Cadillac Palace Theater starting on June 28th, which would be this coming Tuesday. And we'll be running here until July the 10th. We're happy to have the two main stars of the show joining us. Eliza Doolittle, played by Shireen Ahmed, and also Laird McIntosh, who plays Professor Henry Higgins. Laird and Shireen, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Hi, thank you very much.
Yeah, very nice to have both of you here with us. Shireen, let me talk to you a little bit about stepping into the role. The musical version of The Rain in Spain that we just heard, that was Julie Andrews singing. I mean, that the original from Broadway. But, you know, we think of Audrey Hepburn immediately. We can think of many other people who have played this role. I mean, you've got some big shoes to fill, taking on this classic role, don't you?
Oh, yes, huge shoes to fill. I mean, Julie Andrews and Audrey Hepburn, you can't get more iconic than that. But I feel like they've kind of paved the way for me to be able to come in and step into this role and make it entirely my own. So I feel grateful for that.
So how do you walk that line? How do you make it your own, yet give the people what they've learned all these years from seeing previous productions of the show.
Well, I think it goes back to the text and back to, you know, the music and the story in the first place. I think, you know, I'm so inspired by Julie Andrews and Audrey Hepburn and their beautiful performances, but I can't imitate their performances. That's what makes them so iconic. And so I had to really find my own Eliza, and I feel like I finally have.
You know, while you're answering me, it occurs to me that somebody probably asked that same question. You know, how do you live up to Pygmalion, which what all of this is based on in the first place, from 1956? You know, when it first came to the stage, Laird. How about you? You're also filling some pretty gigantic shoes in Professor Henry Higgins.
Yes, I feel like people that shadow, you know, just as you played the clip there in the intro, and I heard Rex's voice, I thought, the shadow of Rex is hanging over this everywhere. But I think we had such a great opportunity and experience with our director, who really wanted to honor the original show, but also make a real departure from it. And bring it a little bit forward into a contemporary sensibility, and also really be, as you say, be able to honor what was in the original play, the George Bernard Shaw Pygmalion, that was the source for My Fair Lady. And so we feel like we've got the best of both here. And I think I feel the same thing that I think Shireen, we've talked about this, you know, feeling a big honor playing these roles and stepping into these famous parts, but you have to make it your own.
So when there is a revival of a show, you know, things get shaken up, whether it's, cabaret or, you know, whatever it is, they kind of turn the Etch-a-Sketch upside down and shake things up a little bit to, you know, start over again. And what are some of the things that we might see in this new production of My Fair Lady that's coming to Chicago?
Well,
Shireen?
Well, I don't.
Or either of you. Go ahead. So it doesn't matter.
Go ahead, Laird.
I don't want to give away the ending of the show, but I think the ending of the show will be very interesting to people. It's maybe not quite what you will be expecting. It's something that is more akin to the ending in Pygmalion. I think you will just see in this show, people are very, very surprised at how really timely this story is and how incredibly relevant it is to exactly what's happening in our culture today. I think these great musicals, they kind of come back around at a time when they just seem to be right for the time period. And this is certainly one that, even though it is an absolutely classic show, and I agree with everything you said at in your intro to this piece, like, it is truly one of the great musicals of all time. And but it really is quite amazing how relevant it is now.
Laird, do you have favorite songs in the show that can't wait to get to perform?
Well, I must say I love singing I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face. Mm. That, of course, comes at the end of the show, and it comes after kind of climbing a Mount Everest of this whole piece. And it is so familiar to people, and it's loved, and it represents a real change in Higgins's behavior. It's kind of his moment of realization, and but you also feel the audience respond to because he has a great line when he comes running out on stage in a complete state of being flustered, and says, damn, pause, I've grown accustomed to her face, you know. And I can almost hear the audience saying it with me.
Sure.
And that's a song that I love to sing.
Yeah. Shireen, how about for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, don't make me choose. They're all so beautiful and iconic. But for me personally, I think Rain in Spain into I Could Have Danced All Night is one of the most beautiful, beautiful pieces of our show, for me in particular, because it's Eliza's first time being able to step into this new voice that she's found. And she's curious and excited, and it's like everything that she has dreamt of for so long has finally come to fruition, and the possibilities and opportunities are endless after that. And it sets us off on an entirely different story. You know, she's transformed, and now what? And now what's next? And it's exciting, and it's like a release for the audience and for me as well.
Now, Shireen is Egyptian-American by descent, and became the first actress of Arab descent to headline a Broadway show, not just this show, but any Broadway show, playing the role of Eliza Doolittle. It must be something for which you are very proud, and I can only imagine how your parents must be beaming with pride at the same time.
Oh my gosh, yes, it's exciting for my community in particular. You know, I never had anyone to look up to, and I still don't in the Broadway community, another Arab woman that I can, you know, be inspired by and follow. So I feel like I'm truly paving my own path in that way, but I feel so much support from the Broadway community, and it's really incredible when, you know, I get messages from men and women who feel represented on the stage. And what's amazing about this piece in particular, though, is that my race, my ethnicity, my religion, it's never referred to in this show. And so Eliza can truly be played by anybody. And so for an audience to feel seen in the story is incredible.
Yeah, well, I have to think that you know, especially little girls of Arab descent coming to see this show and seeing you in it, you know, must make them feel like I can also be on a Broadway stage. I can also do whatever I set my goals on. Shireen did it. And, you know, now there is somebody who looks like me, whose name sounds like mine, who, you know, has a, you know, similar background as me, can do the same things.
Yeah, and you know, and to be in a piece like this where I'm playing a powerful, ambitious woman who speaks her mind and really stands her ground, it's a gift. You know, it's not like I'm in Aladdin. It's like,
yeah, right.
You know, I'm in a My Fair Lady, and it's an iconic piece, so I feel very grateful for that.
Now, are you guys doing perform? In what city are we talking to you? I don't even know that.
Cleveland.
Right now. Okay, all right. So you're doing performances, I know, in Cleveland today, in a short time, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
So the tour is taking you around the U.S.?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we're going across the states, and we've been already out basically for a year now, and have had a really wonderful time just taking the show all over the place. I think we're all really looking forward to Chicago, though, because, you know, it's one of the great cities. and I know I've been there, I've played there before, and I can't wait to get back.
What were you saying, Shireen?
I have been looking to forward to Chicago since 2019 before we shut down.
Right. So, oh, right. I forgot this production. Well, you were supposed to have been here before the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. We're all so, so excited to come to Chicago. It'll be my first time there. I was there for maybe like 3 hours at one point, but sit down. Experience Chicago. I'm really excited.
Well, we can't wait to see the show. My Fair Lady is going to be at the Cadillac Palace Theater starting this coming Tuesday and then running through July the 10th. Tickets are available at BroadwayInChicago.com. And I'm so happy you could spend a few minutes. I know you guys are getting ready to go on stage, so I'm not going to hold you. I'm going to let you rest your voices. And thank you very much, Laird McIntosh, Professor Henry Higgins, and Shireen Ahmed, Eliza Doolittle. Shireen, when you get to town, I'm going to tell you where all the good Middle Eastern restaurants are here in Chicago.
Please. Thank you.
Yes, we'll set you up some good home cooking. We'll take a break and be right back next. WGN. I would love to see you in a production of My Fair Lady, Jim. Is Jim there? Jim Toronto still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just...
Well, you got quiet all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, you were in...
You disappeared during the theater. I thought you thespians would, you know, do your actor talk.
Well, I know you didn't have too much time, and I didn't want to intrude.
Wow.
Plus, you asked pretty much every question I was going to ask. I mean, I felt the same way, you know, doing this Virginia Woolf play that I recently did. You know, stepping into a role like, Richard Burton played... It's the same kind of thing, and Tracy Letts won the Tony Award for that, for his Steppenwolf production. And then Bill Irwin won the Tony Award in another revival of Virginia Woolf. So walking into that, you know, to that role, it's the same way. You don't want to imitate, you don't want to mimic, but in my case, I also didn't want to completely not or pretend that Richard Burton never did it, because I think that audiences want to see that.
People expect a certain thing.
Yeah.
Jim is going to be taking over the show after the 11 o'clock news. I'm headed to the Pride Parade to see on the WGN TV float, number 45, if you're going to be out at the parade today.
You got one of your cool hats today?
I do have a cool hat.
Yeah.
One of my cool fedoras.
Which one? Yeah.
Today.
What color? Straw?
When you see me on the float, then you'll know what kind of hat
I have. Is it on TV today?
They were not broadcasting the parade, but you'll see clips of it.
Sure.
See you tomorrow between 2 and 6, filling in for Lisa Dent. Jim, take it over. What do you got to say? Do you have any words to say? Here comes the news.
Here comes the news, and I'm filling in for Dean, and listen anyway.
Listen anyway.